Skull and Everett present This Week in Horror.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Everett.
And I'm Sickle, and we're Sickle and Everett. We're the Unhallowed Reviewers.
And let's address the elephant in the room.
Uh-oh.
I made an executive decision to change the name of the podcast to The Sickle and Everett Show instead of Sickle and Everett This Week in Horror because, frankly, we're having trouble recording every week, and we don't want to, or we're going to get burned out. So we've changed to a different schedule. Hopefully it's a little bit more consumable for everybody that's listening. They don't have to do something every week. And that's got a cooler name. Like, it's like a talk show. So we can talk about whatever we want. It doesn't just have to be stuff this week. You're welcome, and, audience.
And we'll see if I am able to fix that for our intro this time.
Maybe. We'll see.
But if it says this
week in
horror.
This is the first time I literally told Sickle about it, so if he's not able to fix it, you know that it was my fault.
But I do approve. I think it's so much better. Yeah.
That's a new show. I just like the sound of it.
Yep. I like it.
Okay. Moving on. Moving on.
So I am really excited for this first piece of news.
Go for it.
Just because I am a massive fan of Alien and Predator, and there are some people out there, just a little bit, and there are some people out there that are even fans of the franchises that are like, they're just leave them alone, they're dead, and I want to continue to beat that dead horse until it's reanimated, and no longer
scarier
dead.
Than ever because it's made of skeleton bones.
Yes. So, more Predator, more Alien. I don't care if you screw up. I will love you for trying. So, the Predator prequel is coming, and it's called Prey. We are familiar with this. We were familiar with the general time period that it's going to be set in. This is a movie.
Okay.
Yes.
In theaters or like...
I don't know for sure. But I'm pretty sure it's probably just on demand. But I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure it might just maybe be not 100% on demand or in theaters.
There we go. But the part that we do know now is that it's set in 1719, which as
it
those
is directed
that...
by the guy who directed the VVH, so it's going to be a period piece about Predator.
There you go.
That'd be sweet.
But, well, actually, they are, I mean, the reason that we know this information is because the director kind of came out and started talking about it a little bit. And it is going to be a lot more grounded, and it's supposed to be more, like, low-key and a little bit more claustrophobic and a little bit more kind of giving you that vibe of the first one. So, I mean, we'll see. I feel like the first one is, I've heard people say this, it's a product of its time, which I would agree with, but... At the same time,
Does that
still
mean
really
that the
enjoy
time
it
was awesome because that movie is really
yes.
good.
Okay, I know it's amazing. But I mean, like again, at the same time, that like the whole like testosterone fueled macho man thing doesn't really happen as much anymore. Especially not the way that it did in the '80s and like early mid '90s. That's kind of died out, and so it's kind of hard to like recreate something that doesn't really exist anymore. And I don't really disagree.
That being
like,
said,
I'm not gonna...
though, I will say the Peacemaker show did a really good job with it. So I think that if you do it nowadays, you just have to make it really nuanced and about like change and growth and stuff instead of just being like a romper stomper like Demolition Day movie.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. I loved that show. I did not think I would.
Oh my god! If you haven't seen Peacemaker, go watch it. Stop listening to the podcast and go watch it now, all of it.
Yeah. I don't know about you, but the first time I watched that, the first time that they played the open, with him dancing, with everybody dancing, I almost turned it off. I was like, I can't take this, and it wasn't even necessarily that they were doing it. It's that it's the whole freaking song.
Yeah.
Like, it takes forever.
No, it's not, but it's a long intro
for
sure.
It feels like it. Yeah, it takes forever. And I was like, I can't take any more of this. Is the show going to be this, like, I don't know. It was bothering me, and thankfully I pushed through. It's just the open. And then I skip it every time after that. But I found myself by, like, the last episode, I was like, I kind of don't want to skip the open this time. I want to cherish this experience because it's so, it was so unexpected. Like,
so anyway, Tanji, can be done nowadays. Sorry. Just has to be very done, very done in a different way. It's not just like Whomper Snopper comedy. So, or action.
Yes. Yeah.
But anyway, that's not what this looks like.
Yeah. So anyways, the whole point was that these, it's based in 1719, which, for those diehard fans of Predator, at the end of Predator 2, the flintlock pistol that's given to Danny Glover, that's the time period it's from. So this could end up being, like, this linked prequel to that whole experience, like, how they got that flintlock pistol, possibly, who knows? It could just be that that's just a little Easter egg. And it won't be related to it at all beyond that. But it was interesting to find that little bit of tidbit of detail.
I mean, it's too coincidental for them to not, like, just do a scene like that at the end or something, right? There's gonna be some reference to it.
Yeah, and I didn't fact check this, but I believe that the,
I don't know if this is true, but I'm gonna make it up on the spot.
Yep. I think that somebody, and I couldn't tell if they were, they could have been just been making a joke and I missed it, but I think that the pistol has a name on it too, and that was a real person.
Oh.
And that the person it was based off was some kind of pirate, but cool. But that also sounds, the way that it was worded, I was like, maybe this guy's just making this up on the spot to try to be funny, and I'm taking him seriously because I want it to be real. So I don't know. I don't know if that part's real, but the only part I was for sure about was the 1719 and the flintlock pistol part. So pretty cool. I'm excited.
Yeah, I didn't see the last Predator movie, but I want to because it sounds right up my alley, even though people really didn't like it. But I don't know. If these are easy to get to, I'll keep watching them.
Yeah, I'm not going to stop as long as they keep coming out. I think Ridley Scott mentioned that he's going to try to make another one. I don't care how bad the other Alien movies were. I still enjoy them and rewatch them. I think that the character decisions, like, are so bad in Prometheus and Alien Covenant that it removes me from the movie, but everything else I like. In horror movies, in general, people make bad decisions, you know? And, like, the worst decision that's made in Alien is them letting, what's-his-face on the ship, like, back onto the ship after he's got the facehugger on it. But that was an intentional decision made by Ash, who wants the alien on board. So, like, which you don't know at the time, but then you find out later. Like, almost everybody else makes, like, rational decisions in that movie. They just die anyways. Mm-hmm. So, like, Prometheus and Alien Covenant, whatever. It was hot garbage in that regard, but still a lot of fun alien mayhem, and I'm all for it. So, if Ridley Scott wants to keep doing that and doesn't care if people are pissed off by it, great, because I'll be one of those people that'll be like, wow, this is another stupid alien movie, and I loved it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
I was very happy. Yeah. Thank you so much for not listening to all the people that are throwing fits.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, everyone's going to be pissed off at movies. I've kind of stopped listening to people like us talk about movies just because it's like, there's just like a lot of negativity about stuff, and I'm glad that we kind of look at it from both sides, and I'm generally too dumb to be mad at anything.
Yeah, I've found myself in that regard. Like, I know that I have been pretty, like, pretty rough on some movies, and I don't appreciate being unoriginal or derivative, at least too much so, or outside of horror comedy. Like, if you're going to be derivative in horror comedy, that's fine. But, like, I think that something that I have grown to actually start appreciate and defend is are all of these requels and remakes when they're trying something new. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if you love the original, we've talked about this last time, but if you love the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre, great, you have that already, and it's great. Why do you want somebody to try to recreate that exact same thing again? It's not going to happen.
Well, I mean, try to move into a different direction. You want to see Blackheart look cool in Ghost Rider.
But I just don't want him to be butchered. Like, I just didn't want him to be butchered. That's different. That's different. That's okay. That's different.
Well. Okay. Let's move on.
Don't start with me. No, don't start with me with Blackheart.
So, there's a God of War Amazon series in the works. There's also a Fallout series coming out. I think it's on Amazon, too. So, like, a Fallout the Game series.
Yeah. Which I would be all for both of those things.
Yeah.
I was a bigger fan of the God of War series than, but it was just because I didn't really get into Fallout. It sounded like a great game. But even from like a horror fan perspective, both of those offer quite a bit in that vein. I don't think that they would be traditionally in the horror genre, obviously, especially God of War. But like, if both of those are in any way pulling from their respective games, you're gonna have plenty of gore and mayhem to go around.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting that you bring that up because I would like we can talk about this in a sec, but let's talk about the Batman just for a second. Just not the review, but just like the aspects you're talking about here. Because the only other series we have that isn't really horror, but now is kind of horror because of some of the stuff that happens in it is with The Witcher, you know? And it's another really good video game series. So, yeah, like, I'm kind of excited for these non-studios to get video game series franchises.
Yeah, and it seems to be a safer avenue than doing the movie adaptation, which doesn't tend to work as well.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like, and I guess I something I didn't really think about until they started making these shows is that makes a whole lot of sense because you're taking a video game, which you think is simple enough that you could just make a movie out of it.
But 99% of the time, those fail.
They're not, yeah, because they're too complex. Like, there's more going on than the video game is given credit for, and then you try to compact an entire story that, you know, is given over the course of, like, 36 playing hours into an hour and a half movie. And so, like, giving it time to breathe and, like, build, like, just like in a video game where you're learning the character and you're starting to, like, they're starting to grow on you, maybe you need that same amount of time to appreciate it in like a TV form. So I think that it's a smart route to go, and I'm more than willing to see people. I feel like the industry has almost gotten more comfortable, more successful at producing quality television series than movies. Especially like the streaming services. I mean, like,
and the other part, yeah, especially the streaming services. I mean, we did have Uncharted. I thought that was pretty great, but it's a movie that can be made into, it's a game that can be made into a movie because it's basically an 8-hour move action movie. So you can like kind of make that into a 3-hour action movie a lot easier than you can take all the books, all the video games for Witcher and put them into a show, or every Fallout series and put it into a show, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, those universes are a little bit more like expansive, whereas like Uncharted was kind of like Indiana Jones is a video game.
Yeah.
And so that you're almost just kind of reversing that back into itself.
Yeah.
So
they had a lot of success with the Tomb Raider movies when Angelina Jolie, not success in terms of they made more than one of them, which was kind of surprising to some people. But yeah, so I'm excited about these.
Yeah, I didn't see it, but I heard good things about that one. The newer one.
Oh, I haven't heard the new one.
Tomb Raider. So. Okay.
But yeah, so the Batman, with regards to that, another like genre that like can be. I mean, Batman, I guess, leans into horror a lot more than some of the other franchises we just talked about. But
yeah, especially his villains.
Yeah. Well, yeah. If you get into like the not the Rogues Gallery, but the ones they don't talk about on the kids shows because they're kind of fucked up, like, you know, like Zazz and
yeah.
Calendar Man and all like all that stuff. And this iteration of the Riddler is, you know, basically a serial killer. So like,
yeah.
And you get that from the trailer, like he's messing people up, but it's basically what he is. And it's really cool to see them take that into like more of like a, we'd see at the Alamo, and the Alamo's a great theater because they put pre-shows up and they're like funny and they have references to things. But this one, basically the pre-show had a reference to, like, what you're usually getting is, like, references to, like, you know, Polish Spider-Man and then an intro on all the Spider-Man stuff and, like, a recap of an old thing. This one they showed, like, the trailer for Seven because of how much this movie is, like, a serial killer like Seven. It's, like, kind of crazy.
That's hilarious. Or that's funny that you mentioned that because that was what I was about to say when you said that he's a serial killer. And, like, I was recalling it from the moments that you see in the trailer. And I was like, yeah, it's kind of like, it feels like Seven.
Oh, yeah. I've only seen Seven once or twice, but it definitely felt like that kind of movie. And people around me were making that comparison, too.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I haven't gotten to see it yet, but I'm really excited because, I've been hearing really great things, especially in regards to the detective side of things, and it kind of, and the Riddler aspect was really well done. So
I was comparing it to Detective Comics for people who'd never read them. Like, oh, this is the inner monologue of Batman. This is like a Batman as a detective, not Batman as a superhero, you know?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, it's like, you wouldn't think that there were additional avenues to take with Batman, but it seems that they found one and carried it well throughout.
I think the only criticism I have is that sometimes Batman seems stupid, but this is, like, year one Batman, so we're not really talking about a, like, fully-fledged super detective mega Batman. This is, like, Batman still trying to figure out what he's doing in Gotham, you know? So.
Yeah, makes sense.
Alright, let's move on. So, there's some new movies coming out. The Siege is finally on Shudder, and it looks like you already watched it, actually.
I did.
We'll talk about that in a second, because I'd like to know what that's about. But yeah, so The Siege is coming out last weekend, I assume. And then we get two really cool Telluride horror show highlights from last year coming out on video on demand tomorrow or next week. Off-Season, which I am so sad I missed and so excited to watch, and Exorcism of God, which Sickle has been telling me to watch ever since he saw it, so I'm excited that I get to finally see some, like, horror stuff that I'm not just kind of like, I'm going to turn this off or go to sleep.
Yeah, both good for completely different reasons. Off-Season is going to take you down that Lovecraftian path, so check it out with that in mind. More of a slow burn. And then Exorcism of God is one that you should probably try to watch with a few other people. I feel like it'd be more fun. It was kind of like the more traditional, just this movie's gonna try to scare the crap out of you in a few scenes and just have a good time kind of popcorn flick.
Hey, those are my favorites, so.
Yeah. I feel like Exorcism of God is the safer bet, but if you're a Lovecraftian fan, you'll also appreciate Off-Season, I think.
Cool. All right, yeah, new movie alert. Stuff we were excited about that you should go watch. There's two trailers to go over. Uma, which is a movie about a Korean grandmother, or a Korean family whose grandmother dies and spoopy happenings start going on. I guess we'll watch the trailer if you want, but it looks cool. I think, what is her name? The
Sandra Oh.
Sandra Oh. Isn't she in, that, oh no, no, that wasn't Sandra Oh, sorry. The Korean Ghost Story short. That is Margaret Cho, I think.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm being super idiot right now. But I like that they're pulling, like, Korean folklore into horror and doing that. I know it's, like, maybe it's the flavor of the week, but I frankly like Korean culture a lot, so it's cool to see, like, them, like, putting it into a consumable format and not having to watch, like, Korean horror in its original form. Which it turns a lot of people off. Maybe they can, like, ease into it this way, right? And be like, oh, sheesh, what am I missing?
Yeah, I do get some of that, like, mainstream studio vibe from it.
Yeah, for sure.
Which makes me hesitant. But I do want to see it for the same reasons that you're saying. Like, it does, I mean, it's hard to tell completely from the trailer, but it does look like it's taking its content seriously, that it really... That it's like, this is something that isn't explored very much, especially from an American perspective in regards to introducing it in a consumable way, where you're not watching a foreign horror film from Korea, which by the way are amazing, and we both love those.
Yes,
so like not, yes, we have no issue consuming.
Yeah, it's more an easier entry point for people who are like on edge horror. So. Anyway, let's move on to Master so we can be even more racist to a different group of people. just kidding. Master's about, like, this professor who got her master's, I don't know what it was. She's like a master at a university.
And, which I don't even know what that is. This is a perfect example of what we were talking about before the podcast. It's reaching an area of something, like just a niche area of, like, the university culture.
Academia,
of, like, of historical universities, really old universities that have traditions and whatnot that I'm not familiar with. And so that's a perfect example. This movie is titled and named after something that this university does that I've never heard of before.
And it's clearly like, cause this looked, I actually thought this was like a Jordan Peele movie at first, cause it looks very like edgy, like his movies are.
And yeah, it has that feel. I see where you're coming from.
And I think it's really going to be a good movie. And Regina Hall is in it, and I have such a hard time dissociating her from the Scary Movie franchise, but this movie looks like it's going to be a defining thing for her, I think, which is great.
Yeah.
Anybody else. I mean, she's already established, but for me, like, to be like, okay, yeah. Cool. Like, she's not just the person in Scary Movie.
I mean, it is hard for some actors if they're like famous for horror, they're famous for comedies, they're famous for et cetera, et cetera, to break away from that. Mm-hmm. And so it's awesome when you see somebody get an opportunity to really like show off their acting capabilities, especially when you see those people that are coming from comedy. We've seen plenty of opportunities for actors in the past, and then they end up being some of the best actors of their generation when they're able to break from that norm. So I don't know what else she's been in other than Scary Movie, but if that was kind of like what she was known for before this, it's cool that she's getting an opportunity to show what she's got in a more serious role. So, I don't know. It definitely looks interesting. I think there's some nuance that the trailer isn't able to help you digest if you're not familiar with it, but I don't think that's necessarily means that you wouldn't be able to digest it watching the whole movie. So it could be introducing us to a different area of life that maybe people aren't completely familiar with.
It's kind of like Skulls vibes.
That happens. Yes, very much so. Yeah, I think that's a great example. Because Skulls, like, I mean, how many of us have done, super secretive fraternities that kill people or whatever?
I don't understand this, but I'm going to watch it like I do.
Yeah. I mean, like, it is what it is. You just try to, like, they'll break it down for you, so.
Yeah, and if they don't, it probably won't be a good movie. So, but it looks cool. Go watch the trailer. Master is coming out soon. No, is it next week? It is next week.
It is soon. Yeah,
18th, March 18th. So.
Oh, I was gonna say the one thing that about that movie, the trailer in particular, that I was like, oh no, huge red flag. If you're looking for, a little bit more of the traditional horror elements, it is rated R, and it's the only thing it was labeled rated R for was some drug use and language. And I was like,
well, not even disturbing. If they're going to hit them on something that low, it kind of lets them play a little bit, right? Because they're R, right? Like, they can say the F word as much as they want, now. But maybe they have to get another language if they say it too much. I don't know. It's all nonsense anyway. The MPAA ratings don't mean anything.
That's true.
I mean, they do now. They just didn't. They shouldn't. R and PG-13 are just things that movies enforce. So, anyway. Blah, 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 blah. All right. I haven't seen the Slapface movie. Let's move on to some reviews, everybody. I've only heard about it and seen the things. Is it on Shudder, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, I have a question for you before I mention anything about this movie. By the title... Now, I don't know how much you've looked up.
I have looked up enough to know that it's kind of a weird plot.
Okay. But by the title alone, if you can try to put yourself in that context, would you consider this... What kind of horror movie would you think this would be?
I have to say comedy horror.
Right? Okay. That I 100% agree. Or, at the very least, a very self-aware B horror movie where it's not purposefully where I mean, like, it's not being funny in the sense
got,
of like
Pumpkinhead vibes a little bit in terms of like this was kind of what I was expecting, was little campy, little silly, cool monster, but not very like
exactly. Yeah, you nailed it. That's exactly what I thought going into it, and it's nothing like that at all.
Is it psychological thriller?
It takes itself very seriously from the opening scene. Like, it's to the point where, like, I'm thinking it's trying to be funny, and then I realized pretty quickly, I was like, no, this is being dead serious. Like, this movie is going to be taking itself very seriously, and Slapface is a very serious thing. And
I can't even take you seriously when you're saying it. Like, Slapface, it's the plague on the world.
There's no way to take it seriously with that phrase. Like, it just doesn't. And I think that there was, there's some underlying points to, like, why they did it. And I'd have to do spoilers for the movie.
Do it. I actually want. So if you want to watch Slapface, come back in a little bit. Because we're going to talk Slapface spoilers.
Okay.
I don't want to watch this movie, but I want to know what it's about.
All right. So it's a Slapface is the game that this these two there's a younger boy and an older boy. I think the older I shouldn't call him a boy, but the young man, he's like probably fresh out of high school age ish. I can't remember if they say how old he is.
Okay.
But their parents are dead. And I hope I'm recalling this from correctly, because it was a while ago I watched it. But, like, I think their parents are dead. Either way, they're home alone. And the older brother is raising the younger brother. Sure. But he still treats him like an older brother would treat a younger brother. He doesn't start to try to be a father figure. He treats him like an older brother. So he protects him in the sense of, I have a duty as the older brother to protect him, but he bullies him like an older brother, like a lot of older brothers do, and neglects him and doesn't treat him overall very well. So anyways, this kid decides, the older brother decides that something that would help toughen his younger brother up is to play this game called Slapface, where they just sit there and slap each other harder and harder in the cheek. And I don't know why, beyond that, that's how the older brother explains it later in the movie. And basically the whole thing boils down to that this entire movie is about bullying and domestic abuse. Like, that's what the movie's about.
Is there like a ghost or anything?
Yeah, that's why I said spoilers. So, like, there's this witch that is in this abandoned place, and you know the usual thing that happens in a lot of horror movies. Some the kids dare this one kid to go in there. So the younger boy goes in there, gets attacked by the thing, but then nothing happens to him, and he ends up befriending this witch that lives in the place, and she doesn't speak, and the way I would describe her is feral. Like, she almost behaves like a loyal dog that's got rabies.
Okay.
Like, that's kind of how she behaves. Like, if something hurts him, then it responds, and in kind to whoever it is. But then there are these like random scenes where you see the boy, like, where the witch is like teaching him some kind of like ritual thing, and you're like, oh, I wonder what that is, and then it never amounts to anything. Like, it just shows him how to do things, like perform these things, and you're like, so I guess what I'm supposed to be gathering from this is that they're connecting?
This is like a Chekhov's gun, right? It's a Chekhov's spell. He's gonna cast a spell later and defeat his brother. You know,
exactly. Yes, okay, so that's what I was thinking, and then it never amounts to anything, and then it ends up at the end of the movie that it's all in his head, and he's the one that's been killing people, and that the lesson that we were supposed to learn is that abuse breeds abuse, and this kid was, you know, had split personalities, and he was making things up and killing people and whatever. And I was like, okay, I appreciate the valor of your goal, of your message. But it was communicated in a really clumsy, weird way. Like, there's a scene where the kid is arrested. And I can't remember why now. But he was arrested at some point for something. And he's in, like, the interrogation room, and the alarms in the place end up going off, and he ends up walking through the police station, and, like, all the police are murdered, and, like, brutally killed in all sorts of ways across the police station, and he runs back to his house. And then he ends up confronting his brother ends up dying, some more police show up at the house, and that's when the witch that was in the house that looked like he killed, that was, like, killing the brother, the older brother, ends up disappearing. Like, goes away. And you're like, oh, no, it was the boy all along. And at least that's what I think that we're supposed to gather. I mean, maybe I missed something, and that's not what it was.
Say that? They don't even show him, like, killing the people and stuff? They just make like, you assume that it was in his head all along?
So, like, the witch attacks the brother in this scene. With the boy, the younger boy and the older brother, and then the witch attacks the older brother because the older brother, like, pushes the younger boy or something.
Sure.
And then the boy, there's a gun in the house. He gets a hold of the gun and shoots the witch a bunch of times, so the witch falls over dead. on the ground.
The older
boy. And then the... What? The older boy's already on the ground dying from the witch, if I recall correctly. And then... So the boy shoots the witch, trying to stop it. When the... Then a bunch of cops show up, and when they come in the house, the boy looks at the ground where the witch was, and it's... There's nothing there. There's no blood, there's no... Nothing. And then it just kind of zooms in on his face, and he's all surprised and flabbergasted. And so I assume that what it's implying there is that it was in his head, and he did all of it.
So all this maybe personality theory stuff is just you making it up from that one scene.
Well, I mean, the only other way to interpret it is that the witch just magically disappears.
Mm-hmm.
Which you could, I guess, argue that if you want, but I didn't understand the logic of doing that. And I'm not sure what the goal was, if that was what they were intending to do. But it did create a ton of plot holes for
yeah, no, how did other you go parts through a police station killing everybody?
Exactly. That part didn't make sense. And then there's the part where the older brother's girlfriend is walking the house alone, and the witch thing comes around the corner, and she's clearly scared and tries to shoot it. And I'm like, if that was the younger brother who she... actually tries to defend several times in the movie, she wouldn't be scared of him unless he was carrying something, but it doesn't cut back to show you that he was like coming at her with a knife or something.
That would have been if they committed to it, it would have been more interesting, kind of like a malevolent,
yes, like, yeah. If it had shown, yeah, if it had cut back, yeah, I agree.
To me,
if they'd
sounds
committed
like
to
they
it.
Didn't have an ending and they just kind of like yeah. they like secret windowed you, and that makes me pissed off. Anyways, we're out of time, I think, so
unfortunately
I have to cut you short. Slapface. Huh? There you go, that's your review.
I don't know. But maybe I wasn't paying enough attention, and the movie's awesome, and everybody's like, you missed all the nuance, and you missed the whole point of the story, and I'm an idiot. That's fine.
All right, well, thanks for listening, everybody. You know, let us know what you thought of the movies we talked about today, and we'll talk to you next time.